Right now, 25 minutes away from your 1 o'clock hour. Yeah, 7 degrees here in central Minnesota. Chris Galen from the National Milk Producers Federation joining us. And Mr. Galen, how you doing today?
I think I need a calf jacket just to stay warm after listening to the weather forecast there, Joe.
Oh, come on. It's balmy outside.
As long as it's a dry heat.
Yes, and it's coming from a guy who's sitting inside and not outside. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yep.
Well, what's new out east right now, Chris?
Well, we have a new Congress that just came into town today, in fact. So they're going to be doing some procedural things. They have to choose Paul Ryan as the Speaker of the House. Presumably that's what will happen later this week. And then they're going to start on doing things like rolling back parts or all of the Obamacare health care legislation, rolling back some other regulations. And then 2.5 weeks from now, of course, we'll have a new president. So it's going to be a busy January, although actually there's probably not a lot that's going to happen until President Trump becomes the president.
Seems like this morning, two things heating up as far as Secretary of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Well, there have been so many rumors the last few weeks. You would think that this is going to be one of the last decisions. I mean, who knew that the Secretary of Agriculture position would be so contested? But I think in the last 2 weeks, I've seen the names of at least four people just from the state of Texas who have been considered for the position. Over the last few days, it looks like, though, the pendulum is swinging towards the former governor of Georgia, Sonny Perdue. But who knows? There's been so many red herrings here and false starts that we're not going to really react to anyone until we actually see something official from the Trump administration.
Is it just me, or it seems like this is a win-win for agriculture? It seems like the direction, anyhow, is getting somebody very, very in tune with, I guess, the ag industry, right, Chris?
There's a couple things you look for. Obviously, someone who has some experience in production agriculture, someone who has some experience in running a major governmental organization or even a large private sector organization like a college or university. And so if it is Sonny Perdue, you've got someone who served 8 years as governor of Georgia, but also he has a background as a DVM, as a doctor of veterinary medicine, and he worked in the private sector for some businesses that he started. So he's got several boxes that he can check. Now, some of the other people who are also under consideration or whose names have been floated out there have similar skill sets and similar backgrounds. So I think that they're heading in the right area. We'll just see what the official announcement is, and that may come later today, Joe, or hopefully in the next few days.
Chris Galen, National Milk Producers Federation, joining us on Noontime News. Chris, that battle on what is milk and what isn't milk, that's still going on, right?
Well, it still is. It's been now almost 17 years, Joe, since National Milk really first raised the issue with the FDA in a formal way, saying that not just the dictionary definition of milk, but products that should be defined as milk have to come from a dairy animal, and therefore plant-based imitators. Back 17 years ago, it was soybeans. We have nothing against soybeans. They're good for dairy cows, but you don't crack open a soybean and get milk out of it. And I think not only is that obvious even to a five-year-old, but it needs to be reflected in how these products can be labeled. Since then, we've seen a lot of other imitators, from rice and almonds to hemp and a variety of other nut products. So that's why we need the FDA to really step it up here. And the good news is that last month, 32 members of Congress wrote to the FDA asking it to take action here. Interestingly enough, we did some research on this. If you go up to Canada, if you go over to Great Britain, they have regulations that don't allow terms like almond milk or soy milk on the very same packages that use those terms here in this country. So it's not like we're asking for anything unusual or special treatment for dairy products here in the U.S. We just want us to fall in line with the way these products are labeled in other English-speaking countries similar to the U.S.
Chris, what's all at stake in this whole matter when it comes to these naming issues? What's really at stake here, do you feel?
Well, what's really at stake is helping people understand that the nutritional content of things like almond milk and rice milk is not always a one, six of one, half a dozen of another type of similarity with real cow's milk. When you see these plant-based imitators, they use flavorings and colorings. They do everything they can to take some almond paste and water and ground up vitamins, and then you mix it all up, trying to make it look for milk, even put it in a carton, use dairy, almost dairy-friendly imagery as well as terminology, trying to tell consumers that this is an acceptable substitute for the real deal, when in fact it has virtually no protein, often doesn't have nearly the same amount of vitamins and minerals. So it's not a one-to-one comparison between cow's milk and almonds or rice or soy or peas or anything else that they try to get milk from. That's really what's at stake, is helping people better understand that these products may be imitations, but they are not substitutes.
On a side note, Chris, I've never tried the other options. Have you at all? I haven't.
Sure, I've tried a number of them. You know, the almond milk's not bad if you like the flavor of nuts. Soy is more of an acquired taste, and then you've got things like quinoa and even hemp milk, so to speak. Most people probably prefer to consume their hemp in other forms, but now you can consume it in a beverage form as well, Joe. So enough comment on that. But that just goes to show you that in the last 15, 16 years since we first raised the issue, there have been so many of these dairy imposters appear. And it's not just the fluid products. There's soy yogurt, there's rice cheese, or maybe I have those backwards, rice yogurt and soy cheese. But the bottom line is the plant-based foods are really positioning themselves as alternatives. And for political reasons, ideological reasons, dietary reasons, if people want to consume those products, that's their business. But they should know that because of the terminology, these products are not equivalent from a nutritional standpoint.
Chris, one final question as you look ahead here to 2017. It seems to be some pretty decent optimism when it comes to milk price.
Yes, finally, and let's hope now that that optimism is real light at the end of the tunnel and not just a false alarm. It looks like the milk production growth we saw a year and a half ago in Europe has finally tapered off. Here in the U.S., milk production seems to be picking up some in the last 3 to 6 months, but not enough to overwhelm the market. So I think as we see more of a balance globally between supply and demand, that will give us more optimism that prices here will be in a sustained recovery in 2017.
Chris Galen, we always appreciate your time. We'll track you down in a few weeks, okay?
Sounds good, Joe. Thanks.
All right, have a good day. Chris Galen, National Milk Producers Federation, here on CASM Radio. Noontime News here in Mid-Minnesota. Chris Galen.